أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من مات ولم يعرف إمام زمانه مات ميتة جاهلية وقال الإمام الصادق عليه الصلاة والسلام عندما ذكر القائم عليه السلام والله لو أدركته لخدمته أيام حياتي صلوات We are proud to be living in the time of such an imam who is awaited by all the prophets of God and all the deputies of all the prophets and all the imams among Ahlul Bayt and all the shuhada and all the siddiqeen and all the saliheen and all the muttaqeen and all the angels and all the dwellers of the heaven and all the dwellers of the earth and above everyone awaited for by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself because Allah created this earth so that the social justice of his is implemented but the humanity unfortunately did not digest a very simple principle of Allah and no one has a right to rule over his property other than his own representatives. Whereas the human beings tend to elect or select their own people throughout the history and never accepted the divine representatives to be the rulers of this world. Except very few humans in the history. Even in our own community, unfortunately, we find there are a significant number of our people, at least their actions speak, that they do not consider the Ahlul Bayt to be their political leaders. Instead, they consider Ahlul Bayt to be their religious leaders. Actions speak louder. So we turn to the Ahlul Bayt in the religious matters only, whereas we do not turn towards the Ahlul Bayt to learn the social and political obligations which were ignored towards the Ahlul Bayt, so they ended up getting killed by the Taghuts. If the followers of Ahlul Bayt were performing the political and social obligations towards the Wali of their time, it would never have been possible for any Zalim ruler to kill our Imams and run away with it. So this kind of crime had been taking place and getting repeated over and over again throughout the history, not because the people quit the prayers or fasting or Hajj or Hijab. Those are the duties which are personal in nature, although none of these duties in the real sense are personal in nature, but that's how the people perceive them. They think these duties are personal, so that it becomes easy for them to perform. When it comes to the social and political obligations, some people think that as if they're not even part of Islam. Islam does not have any political obligations. Islam is a religion of personal practice. It comes down to that. It's just between you and your Lord. Don't even interfere into personal matters of somebody. Isn't that right? So it becomes easier when Islam is taken away from the society. So the society collectively is no longer performing the social obligations required to elevate a nation collectively. A nation never get elevated by personal obligations to begin with. If you are personally performing nice deeds, you are a very practicing, pious person, there is no benefit for the Islamic Ummah. The Islamic Ummah, we as a nation, as one nation concept given by the Prophet, we can create it only if we perform collective obligations together. Just like some of the enemies of Ahlul Bayt today are doing. Just like they are performing towards their own goals and their own racist or Zionist goals. So we find that unfortunately people have been turning to Ahlul Bayt to learn the religion only which they perceived is only individual, umure infiradi, personal types of obligations only. Although religion to begin with is not just individual, a pack of individual duties, religion already included all sorts of duties. So because of this behavior of humanity, a time arrived where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now giving us a lesson. Unless and until those of the people learn to behave themselves towards the Wali and the Mawlah, you will never allow even the excess to see your Wali. Because it's the final days. The final days have arrived. Enough is enough. 11 of the greatest humans after the Prophet have already been killed without any fault. They have no fault. Now is the Khatamul Awsiya, the seal of the deputies. There is no one after him. So now there is a zero tolerance law. Unless you learn to behave yourself, unless you consider the political and social obligations towards the Wali and Imam of your time to be more important than your personal religious practice and personal obligations of Islam, you will never be allowed to have access to the Imam. So first things first. So we find that all this takes place in Islam because of the lack of taharat of the qalb. If we have the cleanliness of the soul, we will never having these problems. These problems arrive only when there is a lack in our taharat and cleanliness. Some people are lacking the taqwa in their spirituality. Some people, and actually a large number of people, are undergoing through the problem of consuming haram food. So we find when Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi salamullahi alayh and Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Qummi salamullahi alayh, these two great personalities of Qum came to see Imam Askari alayhi salam, and according to one of the narrations, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam was just a 3-year-old boy. sitting in the thigh, in the lap of his great father. His face is glittering like the full moon. And Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi, this great personality, he, this companion of Imam Askari alayhi salam, and his fellow great companion Ahmad ibn Ishaq, also from the city of holy city of Qum, they have brought bags with the money, to hand it over to Imam Askari alayhi salam, the Imam of their time. And when this first bag was brought, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, who was just a 3-year-old child, said to his dad, "Is that okay that the clean, the pak, the tahir hand of your son strikes the najis money?" So Imam is talking about this bag, the first bag which was brought, and this bag, he mentions, 3-year-old boy, there's no big difference between the Imams among the young and the old. They all are born with the entire knowledge of ghaib and the unseeable world. So we believe the Imam is born to be an Imam. Isn't that right? So they have the entire knowledge. I just mentioned last night, in the last night's speech, that the Imam used to speak in the womb of their mothers. So it's not a matter of surprise when an Imam is speaking as a 3-year-old child. So Imam pointed towards this first bag of the money, which has 1 dirham of that money actually was of haram. How come that 1 dirham, this dirham was actually coined? Imam also mentioned that it was coined in the city of Ray. Ray was a neighborhood, is still there, close to the Tehran, city of Tehran. Ray Sheher. Imam even where the coin was coined. And why that coin was haram is that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is explaining, because the person, what he did, like I said, I'm paraphrasing all these narrations in my own words. So he said that this person purchased 1 man and a quarter, and man is an old measure, like today we have pound. So he purchased this wool 1 man and a quarter from somebody, and this guy took this wool to the tailor to weave some cloth for him to wear. When he went to the tailor's shop, there was a robbery taking place at the tailor's shop. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is explaining the whole story, why that coin is haram in the bag. The robbery taking place in the tailor's shop, and after a while, when this guy went to the tailor's shop and to get his cloth, woven cloth, the tailor said, "Well, I'm sorry, I could not." The tailor said, "I could not, it's not ready because all the stuff has been stolen already." So now he, in order to retrieve his money, his wool, what he did is that he took back the wool from the tailor, and skinned 1 man and a quarter, he took from him 1 man and a half. So 1/4 of the wool more than what he deserved. And also Imam says that the quality of wool he got from the tailor was superior as compared to the inferior quality of wool he gave to the tailor. So this kind of money is haram. Imam Mahdi is not even ready to touch his hand over haram money. Don't you find people distributing tabarruk in the name of Allah, selling alcohol, isn't it right? Selling haram, running haram business, and selling and giving for the sake of Islam. Didn't the Quran say, "Anfiqu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum"? So we learn in light of the verse that we are supposed to give away for the sake of Allah from the clean things only, from the clean money that Allah has awarded us. If your money is najis, if the money is haram, you're not supposed to do infaq from somebody else's money. Please say salawat. Shaykhun al-Jaleel, tfadalu, raja'an, tfadalu huna, tfadalu, raja'an, la, sadr al-mahfal. Please recite salawat. So, Najis Amwal, Imam was not even ready to put his hand on the Najis money. Remember? When somebody, they used to send, queries to the Naibul Khas, those deputies who used to be appointed in the lesser absence period by the Imam, one after the other. Well, you don't have two deputies at the same time to begin with. That's a very important point to retain in our minds. In the lesser absence period, and even in the greater, principles of the Shia religion never change. So Imam Mahdi alayhi salam used to have deputies appointed in the lesser absence period, but one after the other. You never find two deputies assigned in one time. That's impossible. Just like you cannot have two imams sitting on the mansab and position of imamat at the same time. We have Imam Ali alayhi salam alive, and we have Imam Hassan alayhi salam alive, and we have Imam Hussein alayhi salam alive at the same time. What one of the three was currently sitting on the mansab and position of walayat and imamat at that time. And the rest of the imams are obedient towards his walayat and governance. You can never find Imam Hassan alayhi salam saying to the community, "Hey people, my knowledge is exactly equal to my dad's knowledge. My level of infallibility and ismat is exactly same as compared to my dad's infallibility and ismat. My level of and faith, my level of ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the religion is exactly comparable to my dad's knowledge of iman and ma'rifat. So stop following my dad, start following me." You can never find Imam Hassan saying that. And you can never find Imam Hussein saying that. That's against the principles. Isn't it right? So just like there are no two prophets, no two messengers of God, messengers of Sharia, and messengers of the book sent in one time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can never find Prophet Isa and Prophet Musa coming in the same time. We can find 70 prophets of the children of Israel arriving in one time, because the hadith of Imam Sadi alayhi salam is informing us that those... those Bani Israel killed 70 prophets in one day. Between the Al-Fajr al-Sadiq and between the Tulu al-Shams. Between the time of Fajr prayers up till the time of the sunrise. Such a short period of time, isn't it right? Within that short period of time, Bani Israel had killed 70 prophets back then. Look at the behavior. So there were 70 prophets available at one time. But what we are discussing is that it's never going to happen that Allah can send two messengers of the Sharia and two messengers of the book at the same time. So you won't find Prophet Ibrahim coming in the same time inviting the people towards his book. This is another very commonly held misconception in our Sunday school. In so many Sunday school literatures, they talk about four major books of Islam. We don't have four major books of Islam. We have five major books of Islam, because we have five messengers of Sharia and five messengers of book. There are not four. So we have Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and we have Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Prophet Musa, and Prophet Isa, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have Sahifatu Ibrahim, one of the five major books of Islam, given to the five, one of the five greatest messengers of Allah. We have Sahifatu Nuh, we have Sahifatu Ibrahim, we have Tawrat, and we have Injil, and we have Quran. Zabur is not considered to be one of the five major books of Islam. It's a booklet. Although the word Zabur, literally speaking, means, but actually it was a booklet and not considered to be one of the five major, most important books of Islam. We do respect Zabur as well. So what I was saying to you is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never sent two messengers of the book and two messengers of the Sharia at one time, because that would translate into the fact that Allah officially is inviting people towards division. Is it right? Because Prophet Musa will be calling people towards his book and his Sharia, whereas Prophet Isa would end up calling people towards his book and his Sharia. And we all know there are differences in the certain details of the Sharia throughout the history because of the needs of the time getting changed throughout the passage of the history. So Allah will never certify divisions in the community. So as a matter of principle, we never find two messengers of the Sharia in the same time sent by Allah. Like we never find three ma'soom imams, all three of them sitting in the mansab and position of imamat and walayat at the same time. Only one is sitting on the mansab, although three may be alive. Likewise, in the lesser absence period, there's only one ankhas, specially appointed deputy at one time. You can never find two. And in the greater absence period, al-ghaybatul kubra, the principle is no different. There's one na'ib of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at one time, not two. Principles never change in the Isna Ashari religion, alhamdulillah. So, coming back to the point I was mentioning, in the lesser absence period, what I was saying to you is that people used to send queries to the specially appointed deputies, one after the other. And the answer used to arrive from Imam Mahdi al-Islam's behalf, which we call At-Tawqi' al-Mubarak. And in one of the questions, it was asked about khubs, about the money. And Imam Mahdi al-Islam replied to the question, Amma amwalukum fala naqbaluha illa litathuru. As far as your money is concerned, we don't accept it. Fala naqbaluha illa latathuru, except that you guys become tahir and clean. There are some people who say, I give my khums so that my money becomes tahir and clean. Is that right? It's not the taharat or the money. Money is not najis itself. It's about that of the qalb. It's about the taharat and cleanness of the soul. Because love of the money and attachment to the material belonging is the biggest najasat in Islam. Attachment towards this dunya, that's the biggest najasat of the ruh and soul. Some people have their souls najis. So because of the najasat in their soul, that's why a person is not ready to perform his financial obligations. How can we discover whether or not I'm attached to the money? If you want to discover whether you are attached to the money or not, money is not bad. Nothing of this dunya is evil. We don't believe in, like, we are not one of those sects of Islam who say Allah is the creator of evil. We in the Isna Ashari faith are proud to believe that Allah is the creator of khair only. Allah never created evil and shar. He is the fa'il al-khair only. He does the khair and nothing but the goodness only. So money is not bad. What becomes bad is when we get attached. We have this love affair with the material belongings. And how can you discover whether you have attachment towards money or not? It's through the fact, are you ready to perform your financial obligations on the timely basis or not? When it's time to fulfill your financial obligations towards Allah, if you are letting Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam to wait and wait and wait, khums is wajib on me, but I don't care. Let Imam alayhi salam keep on, you know, waiting for me giving the khums away. Let Islam be waiting. All those expenses of Islam are waiting for you, but you already get the khums on the timely way. This is the sign when you get, when you are not ready to perform your financial obligations on time, it means that you are attached with the money. So Imam alayhi salam is, whatever scholars say, that qalb of the Imam is bizar. Qalb Imam az haram bizarast. Soul of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is he He hates the haram. He gets annoyed with the haram. He totally dislikes the haram. He doesn't even get close to the haram. Imam is not even ready to put his hand over the haram money. How can it be accepted? He himself has mentioned that amma amwalukum in the taqiyya mubarak, amma amwalukum, as far as your money's wealth is concerned, fala naqbaluha illa litathhuru. We don't accept it except that you become tahir. You people become clean. Wama said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَسَلْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَقْطَعْ. Whoever wants to continue having a relation with us should continue. Whoever wants to break away from us shall break away. And then Imam says, وَمَا آتَانَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا آتَاكُمْ. What Allah has already given us, what Allah has given us is better than what Allah has given you. That's what some people think, that it is there, as if they are doing some favor on Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. By giving away khums, we are doing some ihsan and favor on Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Na'udhu billah. We are doing an ihsan and favor on our own soul, and we are doing a zulm on our own soul if we don't pay away the khums to Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. That's her money. That's money. And this is a sign of attachment. None of the du'as are accepted. If you are wearing your clothes, you never gave away khums from your money, and you are wearing your clothes upon which the khums is applicable. All the maraji have given the fatwa that your prayers are batil. You are praying on a carpet in your house where the khums was applicable, but you didn't give away the khums. All the maraji have given the fatwa your prayers is batil on that carpet. We need to be very particular of eating the haram food. One lukmatul haram, one loaf of bread in your stomach, and your prayers not accepted for 40 days. Your du'as are not accepted for 40 days. So we find that Imam alayhi salam rejected to put his hand over that money, that one coin which is from haram. And now the second bag that they had brought, Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi and Ahmad ibn Ishaq al-Qummi salamullah alayhima, these great personalities from the holy city of Qum. The second bag that was brought, Imam alayhi salam said that this second one is actually all of the money in it is haram. The entire money in the bag is haram. It had 50 dinars, 50 gold coins, and all of them are haram. So Imam didn't touch his hand, didn't put his hand over the second bag either. And then the narration says that Imam Askari al-Islam asked, give me the cloth that the old woman from Qum has sent. So this Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi, he gave a cloth to Imam Sadiq al-Islam. What Imam Askari al-Islam did, he took the cloth and he put it over his seat where he was sitting, and then he sat over that cloth, which is a symbol, a sign, that cloth sent by the old lady in Qum was made from halal and was tahir, because they never get close to the najis thing. So we find that our own amal, didn't Imam Mahdi al-Islam say in his letter to Sheikh Mufid, فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ إِلَّا تَصُلُوا بِنَا مِمَّا نُكْرِهُهُ. Nothing blocks them. Imam Mahdi al-Islam wrote two letters to Sheikh Mufid in the greater absence period, 411th Hijrah and 413th Hijrah. In one of the two letters, Imam is mentioning the point, فَمَا يَحْبِسُنَا عَنْهُمْ. Nothing blocks the Shias from us. إِلَّا مَا يَتَّصِلُوا بِنَا مِمَّا نُكْرِهُهُ. Except the wrong things, the zulm, the haram things that the people are doing in their lives. In other words, so the harams of the people are the ones that are blocking them away from us. Imam is not in the ghaibah. He lives in this world. He can be seen, but cannot be recognized. A fine line in between these two. You can see, but you can't recognize if you don't have the ma'rifat. those of the mu'mineen who have the ma'rifat of the Imam can see him and also recognize him. يَعْرِفُهُ يَرَاهُمْ وَيَعْرِفُهُمْ. Imam sees the people and recognizes them. As far as the people are concerned, يَرَوْنَهُ وَعْرِفُونَهُ. They see the Imam, but they fail to recognize him. And when Imam Mahdi al-Islam will appear, people will be saying, well, I saw him there. The other guy will say, I saw him there. Because he used to live in the community. But we did not recognize because of the lack of ma'rifat. The ma'rifat, the in-depth recognition which is depending on our fara'id and our performance of those fara'id. And like I said in the beginning of my speech, a huge chunk of the Muslim community thinks that Islam is an individual matter, personal matter of your life, and ignores the social and political obligations in its totality. Isn't that right? 11 Imams got killed, not because of our fara'is. People of Kufa were not tariq al-salat. Did they quit prayers? Did they stop doing the hijab? No. Did they stop fasting? No. Did they stop going for hajj? No. But they allowed Ibn Ziyad to kill Imam Hussein. Political duty, social duty, isn't that right? So Imam Hussein can get slaughtered next door because the people are separating religion from politics. Unless and until, see, the entire revolution, the Islamic revolution came because of the fact Ahlul Bayt have told us, Imam Ali al-Islam has told us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the religion, religion of Ahlul Bayt is not but the politics of Allah, Siyasatul Adl. What Imam Ali has said, Khairu Siyasat Al Adl. Best of the politics is Adalat, justice. When we talk about justice, we are talking about Siyasatul Alawiya, the justice of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Does anybody have a problem with the justice of Imam Ali? Look at the behavior of our Maraji, Ayatullah Sistani. Please read salawat for his protection. Did not even meet, did not even talk to any zalim person in his life, even over the phone. Isn't that right? Not even for 1 minute. He's not even ready to talk to any zalim person for 1 minute. And look at some people who are misusing the name of Maraje and buttering up the tahoots for their personal agendas. Look at the character, 8 personalities. Look at the character of the Islamic leader, Samahatul Wali al-Faqih, Hafidhahullah. Please recite salawat for him. So we find that in Islam, the problem that our imams have been facing was primarily because the social and political duties were ignored. And that's why we come here to the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that we don't give the hard time to the imam of our time, who is actually waiting for us to improve. Whether we are falling in the category of quote-unquote al-muntazir, the awaiting person, or not, depends on our ma'rifat, whether we have the ma'rifat or not. Certainly, he is the muntazir, that means he is also waiting for us to improve. He has nothing to improve, he is already perfect. We are the ones who need to improve. Improve on what? Improve on our prayers? We are already praying. Improve on our fasting? We are already fasting. Improve on our hajj? We are already doing the hajj. Improve on what? What Farazdak had said to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, coming from Iraq, and Imam Hussein is moving towards Iraq, inquired about the people that he left behind, and Farazdak replied to Imam Hussein, قُلُوبُهُمْ مَعَكْ وَهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةَ. Their hearts are with you. So basically, if you talk to them, they would say, yeah, we love Ahlul Bayt. When it comes to performing the social obligations and political obligations towards the wali and maula of their time, Imam Hussein, no, They are not ready to support the Wali and Mawla. They are ready to support the Tahoot. Their swords are going to be raised for the sake and for the support of the Tahoot, not in the favor of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. This is the Islam of Kufa. This is the Kufi Islam. Islam minus politics is the Islam of Zulm and Islam of Kufa, which is mal'oon till the day of judgment because we are proud to read the Ziyarat-e-Ashura. Are we here to follow the Islam of mal'oon Islam and cursed Islam of Kufa? Or we are here to follow the Islam of Habib ibn Mubahir? What kind of Islam we want to follow? Islam which is silent over Zulm? Which is opposing the Zulm like Amir al-Mu'mineen used to do, like Hazrat Zainab used to do, like Imam Hussein used to do, like the Tawhid is forced to put handcuffs and collar with thorns in the neck of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, but if this still did not contain Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to oppose the Zulm of the Tawhid and to expose the Zulm of Tawhid, although he's bleeding, but he's still opposing the Zulm. That's the Islam of Ahlul Bayt. That's why we commemorate the Majalis, so we make a change. We don't leave the Farshul Aza. We don't leave the Majlisul Aza with the Zulmat inside, Zulmat of Zulm. Then Imam Ali say, Az-Zulmu Zulmatun Yawm Al-Qiyamah. Sadaqa Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. Certainly he said the truth. Zulm is darknesses on the Day of Judgment. Everybody who supports a zalim, he is full of darknesses. Doesn't have no nur. He is void of nuraniyat. People say, "Oh, I met this and this person. He was looking so nurani." Well, so nurani? Why? How do you think a person? Why do you consider a person nurani? Because he had a clear complexion? Is that the reason why you're calling him nurani? If that was the case, then all those people who are whites are already. It's a done deal, isn't that right? Is that the meaning of nur in your dictionary? When we talk about nur in Islam, we are talking about the nur of the qalb. The divine light found in the soul. That's what we are talking about. Not the brightness of the face of anybody. With due respect to all the good people who have clear complexions. But it's about the nuraniyat of the... Then we say, don't we say when we pour the water in wudu and pour water in our face from the riwayat of Amir Mumin Islam, we learn all those du'as. Allahumma bayyiz wajhi yawma taswaddu fihi alwujuh. Oh my Lord, make my face illuminous, obvious, on the day when the faces of some will be dark. Wala tusawwid wajhi. And don't turn my face to be dark. Aswad, yawma tabyadda fihi alwujuh, on the day when the faces of some will be illuminous. Abyad. So we're talking about, on the day of judgment, your soul is going to dictate what would be your complexion. Here in this world when we came, we didn't come with our own wills. We were never asked what kind of complexion do you like? What kind of face and what kind of looks do you like, do you prefer for yourselves? What kind of eyes, what kind of nose, what kind of complexion, what kind of height? What's the color of hair that you prefer? You are never asked by Allah. You are not even there to be asked. Isn't that right? But if you have your own preferences, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the freedom to decide this is about your appearance on the Day of Judgment. Because the appearance on the Day of Judgment entirely depends on your beliefs of Haqq and your practice of Haqq and the nur of the Haqq belief system found in your soul and the nur of the Haqq practices found in your soul. And the soul is going to lead and determine how your looks need to be in accordance with the soul and qalb. That's the Day of Judgment. That's the difference. One of the differences between the Day of Judgment and this world. So we find that Imam alayhi salam would accept to even touch his hand on the second bag of money. And then the questions were started to be asked. The first question that was posed by Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi to Imam alayhi salam is about the ayat of Quran, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. And this was to the story of Prophet Musa as he was going to the Wadi Tur. And we find that Allah commanded Prophet Musa alayhi salam to take off your slippers. فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. And Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi said to Imam alayhi salam that there are certain other sects of Islam who say the reason why Allah asked Prophet Musa to take off his slippers is because of the fact his slippers were made of non-halal meat, meat of a dead animal, maita, murdar, a dead animal's meat, which is najis in Islam. So Allah asked Prophet Musa to take it off. Imam Mahdi alayhi salam replied, this is basically, this is wrong, what they're giving the, they're saying the nisbat, they're relating jahl and ignorance to the messenger. And he went with the same slippers to the Wadi of Tur for the sake of munajat. So basically, what's the real reason why Allah was asking Prophet Musa to take the slippers off? Imam Mahdi al-Islam said, when Prophet Musa reached there, he at his ikhlas and love towards Allah. In other words, he's sincerely loving his Lord. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ, which means, أَيْ أَنْزَعْ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ حُبَّ أَهْلِكَ. That means, take out from your soul, the love of your wife and child. Prophet Musa has his wife and child, and he's expressing that he sincerely loves Allah when he reaches there. Allah asked him, فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ. Imam Mahdi al-Islam is doing the tafsir of this ayat. أَيْ أَنْزَعْ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ, take out from your soul the love of your family. There's nothing wrong in Islam to love your family. Our Prophet used to love Hazrat Khadija so much, every now and then, and some other wives used to be jealous, isn't that right? And Prophets used to praise Hazrat Khadija a lot, remember her a lot. And she'd be praised and loved, isn't that right? When Prophet was coming back from Mi'raj, and he was bidding farewell to Jibreel, the archangel Jibreel, and asked Jibreel, do you have a hajat, do you have a need? And Jibreel replied to the Prophet, when Prophet is coming back towards the earth, my hajat towards you, when you go back, say my salam to Khadija. Please say salawat. So what's wrong in loving such a great lady? There's nothing wrong in Islam. What we must understand, any amount of love which is sanctioned by Allah towards your wife or towards your husband or towards your children, that's nothing wrong with that. That's okay. That's permissible because Allah Himself has sanctioned it. Any amount of love that you step farther than the limits is what we need to check. And we are not supposed to do anything more than that. So we find Sa'd ibn Abdullah asked, some people are really led towards the hellfire because of their spouse and children. Isn't that right? Spouse and children of some people lead them towards Jahannam. Ask them to do harams for the sake of their spouse and children. Let's not allow our spouse and children to lead us towards the hell. Don't you remember the story of Abdullah ibn Zubair? This guy who came to fight alongside with other companions and the wife of the Prophet against Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Battle of the Camel. Zubair, companion of the Prophet. And not just a companion, something even superior than that. Because Imam Ali himself had mentioned in his, you know, which is the mazmoom riwayah, La yazalu Zubair minna ahl al-bayt ma nasha'a ibnuhu al-mash'un. Abdullah, Zubair continued to be one of us ahl al-bayt. Ma yazalu Zubair minna ahl al-bayt ma nasha'a ibnuhu al-mash'un. Until and unless his manhus His Manhu's son was born, in other words. So because of his son, this guy Abdullah, whom Imam is calling Tut of Ahlul Bayt, reaches to what level? Reaches the level of Jahannam. He was the one who was departing and not ready to fight when Imam Ali did the nasihat, arranged for the nasihat against those people of the camel, who came with the camel to fight against Imam Ali, the Imam of their time. He used to do the nasihat and advice before the start of the battle. And Abdullah was leaving after listening to the advice. His son, Zubair, was leaving after listening to the advice. His son Abdullah was the one who again deceived his father and brought him back to fight against Imam Ali. So let's not allow our children and the spouse to drag us towards the hell. Some people will go to the hellfire because of their spouse and children. So we find that the second question that was asked by Sa'd ibn Abdullah al-Qummi from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam was the tafsir of Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sa'd. And that's where Imam Mahdi alayhi salam started to explain. This is that Hazrat Zakariya requested, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach him the name of Al-Khamsa Al-Tayyibah, Panstan-e-Pak, the five great personalities. And Allah said to Prophet Zakariya, Qul ya Zakariya, Qul ya Hamidu bihaqq Muhammad. Say salawat please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allah said to Prophet Zakariya, O Zakariya, say, O Hamid, for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Ali bihaqq Ali. O you, O Ali. Ali is one of the name of Allah, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bihaqq Ali, for the sake of Ali. That's how Allah is teaching Prophet Zakariya the names of the five great personalities. Ya Fatir bihaqq Fatima. O Creator. Fatir means the Creator. بحق فاطمة, for the sake of Fatima. يا محسن بحق الحسن, O محسن, the one who favors, always performs good, for the sake of Hassan. يا قديم الإحسان بحق الحسين, O you who has his ihsan and favor starting from ever. So بحق الحسين, for the sake of Hussein. That's how Allah taught Prophet Zakariya the names of the five great. And Zakariya said to Allah that when saying the names of the first four, up till when I said the name of Imam, when I said the name of Hassan, my heart was happy. But when I pronounced the name of Hussein, tears rolled in my eyes. I got mahzoon and sorrowful. So what's the matter? Prophet Zakariya inquired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where Allah replied to Prophet Zakariya, Kaf Ha Ya Ain Sad. So this is the whole story. This is the entire story of Karbala, hidden in this secret word, which we call it Hurufun, part of the Hurufun Muqatta'at in Quran. And Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is explaining the tafsir and says in the tafsir that Kaf is the indication towards Karbala and Ha refers to the Halakat Shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam and Ya is the indication towards the killer of Imam Hussain Yazid and Ayn is the ishara, an indication towards the atash and thirst of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Ayatullah Sheikh Ja'far Shustari rahmatullah alayhi used to say that the masaib, the troubles that were faced by Hussain, there is no af'alu tafzeel. You can't say that this trouble of Imam Hussain was lesser and that one was higher. All his troubles that he faced were highest. So there is no high and there is no less. All of them are highest. But he said, Ayatullah Sheikh Ja'far Shustari rahmatullah alayh, he was a great mujtahid, Sahib al-Risala al-Amaliyya. He had his book of Tawheed Masail published, a marji' of taqleed. He said, in his opinion, the biggest, some of the scholars say that hijabat used to, the curtains of sins used to go away, and he used to see and recite the Masa'ib. He was one of the very unique personalities. Turn to his book Al-Khasa'is Al-Husayniyya, where he talks about some of those specific attributes of Imam Hussein in Islam. You may never find in any other book of Masa'ib except in the Kitab Al-Khasa'is. Rahmatullahi alayh. So he used to say that none of the pains and troubles faced by Imam Hussein, we didn't find anything higher or lesser, because all were of the highest level, highest degree. But he said, in my opinion, the highest of the pains that were faced by Islam was his atash and thirst. And the reason that he furnished behind his statement is that when Jibreel recited the Masa'ib of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in front of every prophet of God, when Jibreel recited the musibat and troubles of Imam Hussein in front of every prophet, he recited the Masa'ib of the atash and thirst of Imam Hussein. And this was a dalil in his eyes why the atash is the greatest of the pains. Imam had moved his tongue so much that Ayatollah Sheikh Jafar Shustri used to say the blood used to come out of his mouth. See, when you have a dry tongue and you are moving around, there is no saliva, the body fluids have been decreased already, there is no water to drink, of course blood will come out, it makes sense. And the same dry tongue Imam alayhi salam had shown to his son Ali Akbar. When Al-Akbar came to demand water, but there was no water. How can Imam Hussein provide water to Al-Akbar? And he himself had no water. Isn't that right? And Saad was the ishara towards the sabr of Imam Hussein. How much sabr and patience did he show? How much sabr did he show? Unthinkable. Nobody has a son like Al-Akbar. So that we can understand the level of tolerance, how much Imam Hussein tolerated. Does anybody have a son like Ali Akbar? When he is sending Ali Akbar, Imam Hussein himself said, Allahumma shahad ala ha'ula al-qawm. O my Lord, be a witness on these people. فَقَدْ بَرَزَ إِلَيْهِمْ غُلَامٌ أَشْبَهُ النَّاسِ خَلْقًا وَخُلْقًا وَمَنْتِقًا بِرَسُولِكَ. Now that young man is going towards, now that person, in other words, is going towards the people to fight, towards the people who is the most resembling person towards your messenger. وَكُنَّا إِذَا إِشْتَقْنَا إِلَىٰ زِيَارَةِ نَبِيِّكَ نَظَرْنَا إِلَيْهِ. Whenever we used to be eager of doing ziyarat of your prophet, we used to look at him. So Imam Hussain used to do the ziyarat of Rasulullah, his great-grandfather, by looking at the face of Ali Akbar. He's the most resembling person in terms of his appearance, in terms of his morality, in terms of his talk and speech. You can't find a person more resembling than Ali Akbar. Which is a dalil, my teacher said that he was ma'soom. So amama of Rasulullah was put over the head of Ali Akbar. Ali Akbar was asked to say the adhan in the morning of Ashura. And he said the adhan in the lahja, in the tone of the Prophet, in the lahja to Rasul. And finally, when he was leaving, we find that Ali Akbar said something into the ear of Imam Hussein, فَبَكَى بُكَاءً عَالِيًا. Imam Hussein cried with a loud voice. Imam Hussein cried so many times. But some of the times, my brothers and sisters, some of the times Imam Hussein ended up crying with a loud voice. One of those occasions was close to Furat, close to the river of Furat. And one of those occasions was at this time when Ali Akbar was departing and he said something into the ear of Imam Hussein. And when Hazrat Zainab, she was the Hamilat al-Asrar. She was the person sharing the secrets with her brother. So we find when Hazrat Zainab inquired,
from her brother, and all his son told her. That's a tradition that the father does wasiyat, the will towards the son. But today the son is doing the wasiyat and will towards the father. We can understand the pain of Imam Hussein. And some of the scholars have mentioned that Ali Akbar was asked by Imam Hussein to keep on turning his face as he is going towards the maqtal, towards the battlefield. So that Imam Hussein can continue doing the ziyarat and the face of Ali Akbar. How much he loves his son. So we find Ali Akbar is departing, and then also Imam Hussein, in other words, he cursed Umar ibn Sa'd by saying, قَتَعَ اللَّهُ رَحِمَكَ كَمَا قَتَعْتَ رَحِمِي. May Allah cut your lineage the way you cut my lineage. So Ali Akbar is departing, and now we find when he's departing, he hears some voice coming from behind. As he turns back, he finds that his elderly father is coming and walking behind him, walking behind the son. He just bid farewell to his father. The Imam Hussein is still walking behind him. How can Ali Akbar understand the pain that Imam Hussein is going through? Because even Ali Akbar doesn't have a son like Ali Akbar himself. Isn't that right? So we find Imam Hussein is going through so much pain. The narration had informed us, in the morning of Ashura, the beard of Imam Hussein was black in color. And by the time of the Asr of Ashura, his beard turned gray. So we find Ali Akbar did his battle, and then he came back towards his father after a while and demanded some water. And Imam Hussein, that was the time where Imam Hussein comforted his son by saying that Rasulullah is going to provide you with a drink. Of course, Prophet used to provide the drink of Kawsar to every shaheed down the way. So Imam Hussein showed his tongue to Ali Akbar, and that's when Ali Akbar replied that your tongue is even drier than my tongue. So Ali Akbar was sent back again, and Ali Akbar went back again, and then Ali Akbar did his battle, and finally he fell down to the ground, and that was the only shaheed, brothers and sisters, the only shaheed in the field, the plain of Karbala, whom Hazrat Zainab himself, she took herself ahead of Imam Hussein, and reached to the body of Ali Akbar before Imam Hussein could reach. Maybe because Hazrat Zainab knew how much Imam Hussein loved his son. How much Imam Hussein loved his son Ali Akbar. Look at how Hazrat Zainab is comforting. The only person, she never went to the janaza of her own kids, Aun and Muhammad. But look at how she's comforting her brother. And the Sayyid ibn Ta'un says that Imam Hussein, فَوَضَعَ خَدَّهُ عَلَى خَدَّهِ. Imam put his cheek over the cheek of Ali Akbar. عَلَى الدُّنْيَا بَعْدَكَ الْعَفَى. خَاطْبَرْ إِنْ دُنْيَا. So we find that Ali Akbar is also, again, Ali Akbar is also comforting Imam Hussein, his father, because he said to Imam Hussein, هَذَا جَدِّي رَسُولُ. This is my grandfather, Rasulullah, yaqra'uka salam. He is saying salam to you. And my Prophet was saying, ajjil al-quduma ilayna. Be quick towards us. So we find that in the final moments, there was a part of the spear which was left into the chest of Ali Akbar. The spear got broken, and the tip of the spear was stuck into the chest of Ali Akbar. How can the father tolerate his son in the pain? And now Imam Hussein is about to take out that piece of the spear from the chest of his son. And we find, I would like to say to Prophet Ibrahim, then Prophet Ibrahim went to slaughter his own son Ismail upon the command of Allah. I would like to say to Prophet Ibrahim, please come and see at the occasion of Ashura. When you were about to slaughter your son Ismail, you were blindfolded. Whereas see at the occasion of Ashura, when Imam Hussein is taking the piece of the spear out of the chest of his son, he is not blindfolded. blinded. His eyes are open. Look at the greatness of Imam Hussein. And the soul of Ali Akbar. And the soul of Ali Akbar departed after that.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيم الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه تجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين يا حسين